thank you all very much. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moments. Do y'all know what these are? Yeah, we're going to take up our noisy offering again today, so I'm going to hand each of you one of these. We're going to do that next week, okay? I forgot about this today, so you want me to hold that? I promise I won't look. All right. Close my eyes and put it over here. There you go. All right. Did everyone get one? There you go. Anyone else need one? Joel, come over here, bud. Not yet. Hold on. All right. So I'm going to send you all out to get change. And when you get change in your bucket, you bring it here and you pour it in this bucket, okay? Does that sound good? And then you go get more. And remember, you tell them, pony up. All right, go. Keep going, keep going. Oh, my.
Oh, my gosh!
I know. All right. Good job. Oh, easy now. Easy now. It's just deposits. Just deposits. Oh, dump it on in here. Keep going. Keep going. All right. Is that everybody? All right. Y'all come back here and give me your buckets, okay? Give me your pails. All right. Good job. Now, no, it's just deposit only. No withdrawals on that. Right, hold on. Come down here. Come down here. Chuck E. Cheese money. Who in the world would have done that? We've got, these aren't even good at Chuck E. Cheese anymore. Man, oh man. All right, come here. All right, we're going to pray, and then you all can go downstairs, all right? And we're going to add this, but leave it alone. Put it back in there. We're going to put those in there. Stop reaching your hands in there. All right. We're going to pray, and then you guys can go to Children's Church, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for the opportunity we have to have fun and just to be reminded of your great love for us. Lord, we pray that you continue to be with these kids. Thank you for them. Thank you for the opportunities we have to minister to them and with them. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can go. Well, hold on. Slow down. Hold on. Wait for Miss Vicky. What a good day. Thank you all very much. That's fun. The kids enjoy that. Maybe a little too much, but that's all right. That's all right. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from James, chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. We're continuing our series on James over the next several weeks. Last week, if you'll remember, we looked at faithful activity, and we considered those aspects of who we are called to be. We talked about the light. We talked about the various things that enable us to be the first crop of Jesus Christ, being doers of the word. And James, if I could sum it up, I like the way that the Common English Bible phrases it, faithful activity, being faithful in our activity, whatever that might be. And so today, as we continue to consider that and we continue to consider the words of James, let us hear now from James chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. My brothers and sisters, when you show favoritism, you deny the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has been resurrected in glory. Imagine two people coming into your meeting. One has a gold ring and fine clothes, while the other is poor, dressed in filthy rags. Then suppose that you were to take special notice of the one wearing fine clothes, saying, "Here's an excellent place, sit here." But to the poor person you say, "Stand over there," or "Here, sit at my feet." Wouldn't you have shown favoritism among yourselves and become evil-minded judges? My dear brothers and sisters, listen. Hasn't God chosen those who are poor by worldly standards to be rich in terms of faith? Hasn't God chosen the poor as heirs of the kingdom he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Don't let the wealthy make life difficult for you. Aren't they the ones who drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who insult the good name spoken over you at your baptism? You do well when you really fulfill the royal law found in Scripture. Love your neighbor as yourself. But when you show favoritism, you are committing a sin, and by that same law you are exposed as a lawbreaker. Anyone who tries to keep all of the law but fails at one point is guilty of failing to keep all of it. The one who said, "Don't commit adultery," also said, "Don't commit murder." So if you don't commit adultery but do commit murder, you are a lawbreaker. In every way, then, speak and act as people who will be judged by the law of freedom. There will be no mercy in judgment for anyone who hasn't shown mercy. Mercy overrules judgment. My brothers and sisters, what good is it if people say they have faith but do nothing to show it? Claiming to have faith can't save anyone, can it? Imagine a brother or sister who is naked and never has enough food to eat. What if one of you said, "Go in peace, stay warm, have a nice meal"? What good is it if you don't actually give them what their body needs? In the same way, faith is dead when it doesn't result in faithful activity. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Faithful activity. As James describes it, this is the proof of one's faith. Our faithful activity is our great thank you to God. We do not act faithfully. We do not do the good works we have been called to do so that we can earn God's favor, right? We do that as a result of the favor God has shown to us in his grace and in his love. And so our faithful activity is a thank you. Thank you, Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for all that you have done and continue to do for me. For James, faithful activity means showing mercy. He tells us in verse 13 that mercy overrules judgment. And thank goodness for that. Anyone here ever asked God for mercy? Anyone ever done that a couple times? Anyone done that this morning? James doesn't define mercy as an anything goes mentality. He doesn't define mercy as letting people walk all over you or just being there and watching as people do things that they're not supposed to do, but rather he compares mercy with the royal law. And the royal law he defines here as loving your neighbor as yourself. Faithful love for others, then, means not showing favoritism. Maybe your translation this morning says partiality, not showing either of these things. Now, James is very clear in verse 9. He says favoritism is a sin. He just kind of lines it right out there for us so that we can know that and see that. And he says in verse 1 that favoritism denies the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And so naturally, we want to know why favoritism is a sin. We want to know how it denies Christ's faithfulness because we want to know how to stay away from these things, right? All of us here have favorites, don't we? Favorite food, right? Favorite beverage, favorite football team that beat Florida finally. First time, glory. Can I get an amen there at all? Okay, all right. Michigan won too. I know you were worried. We finally pulled one out. We all have favorites, and it doesn't necessarily seem a bad thing to have favorites, but we need to be careful that we don't have favorite people, he seems to be saying. And he will spell this out a little bit more for us. Favoritism is a sin because it stands against the royal law, because it goes against loving neighbor as yourself, as he says in verse 8. He takes this, of course, from Leviticus 19, 18. Jesus is asked when he is ministering, what is the greatest and most important commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he says, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That one is like loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When we show favoritism, we are not loving our neighbors. When we show favoritism, we are not loving God. Now, we typically define neighbor as everybody, right? I can remember in Sunday school, they'd say, love your neighbors. And they'd say, who are your neighbors? And we'd all raise our hand and we'd say, the people that live next door to us, right? The people that live in our neighborhood. And they'd say, no, your neighbor is everybody. Everyone is your neighbor. Has anyone heard that before? Right? Okay, good. And that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people I'm supposed to love, right? And it becomes pretty overwhelming, doesn't it? I want to take this a step further this morning because I think loving everybody is far too broad and it's far too vague to be doable. Now, it's the right thing to say that we love everybody, and that's great, and it's what the Sunday school teacher wants to hear when they ask the question. But if we're honest with ourselves, we know that that's too big of a task, isn't it? It's too big. It's too big of a task. It's not doable. It's not feasible to love everybody the way that we're supposed to. And oftentimes, we can say that we love our neighbors, but James is much more concerned with doing that, isn't he? With doing love. So I want to define neighbor this morning slightly differently. Now, I still believe that it's everybody, okay? I'm not getting crazy here. But I want to define neighbor for us in a doable way. I want to make it very specific, and I want to take all of the gray out of this area, all right? So I want to define neighbor this morning as the closest person to you physically at the moment. The person you are closest to, the person who is in closest proximity to you. Does anyone have somebody close to them right now, physically? All right, a few are holding hands. I'm glad not everyone is holding hands. That would be a little creepy, but that's all right. We're good. So everyone has someone close to them, right next to them, right in front of them, right behind them, except for me. I'm all alone up here. That's all right. All my neighbors just went downstairs. It's the person right next to you, right now. Now, that's going to change, right? It's inevitably going to change because you're not going to stay right next to your neighbor, who is your neighbor right now, the whole time. You've got to go to work. You've got to go to school. You've got to go run this errand or do that thing. And so the person that is closest to you at any given time is your neighbor. And they are the one you have to show love to. And so if my neighbor is the person that is right next to me, it makes this command very specific. This specific person is my neighbor, and I need to show love to this person, whatever that looks like, right? That seems a little more doable. Well, at least it does right now. We'll see who you're closest to in a little while, right? So I want you to, for a second, look at the person closest to you. Say, I love you. Do it. I love you. Love you. Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right. Easy, right? Yeah, sort of. Some of us had to go a little further than others. That's all right. When we love the person closest to us, the person in closest proximity to us, it makes it very specific and very real. It's no longer just this mindset that I gotta love everybody, right? Because again, it's very broad, it's very vague, and there's really nothing that's required in that. But now it becomes real, because now there's somebody in close proximity to me that I've gotta show love to. It isn't enough to say that I love that person specifically, but then how do I actively love that specific person? So yesterday, Abby and the kids and I went to Nashville. We went to the zoo. A lot of neighbors there that we got to interact with. And then we decided it was time for dinner. And we went to McDonald's. And Abby and the kids stayed in the car, and I ran in to order our food so we could eat it and in the car on the way home. And I had the opportunity to live this out with my neighbor who was taking my order. I was not in a good place. I was getting a little hangry. Y'all familiar with that? I had been walking around with my neighbors, pushing them in the stroller and pulling them, and it was time to eat. And this beautiful young lady named Lauren, my neighbor, I had to keep reminding myself of that because I know I was preaching this morning. You have no idea. Maybe you do. And so I get cut in front of by one of my neighbors. God bless you, neighbor. I go up to the thing, and there's Lauren, and she goes, "What do you need?" It's like, "Well, I'd like to order a number 9. It's 2 cheeseburger meal." And, "Well, that doesn't come in a meal." Says number 9 of 9 meals. "I'd like a large, please." She said, "It doesn't come in large." I said, "Do the other ones come in a large?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "I'd like a large, please." "Well, I got to get somebody to come and put their finger on this little scanner deal." "What? This is McDonald's. This isn't rocket science. This is a cheeseburger." It's my neighbor. As she's waiting on someone to come to do that, she begins to take somebody else's order. I was like, "Well, hold on a second. Now, my neighbors over here weren't first. I'm here. I'm your neighbor right now. You need to take the rest of my order." No, she wasn't happy with that. She got their order and took their order, and I'm just sitting there like, I love my neighbor. Can't show favorites. I got to preach tomorrow. If I don't do this, it's going to be bad. So they get their order. And I said, "Is it my turn again to complete my order?" She goes, "Yeah, what do you want?" "I'll tell you what I want, but it's not on the menu, all right? I'll take a fish fillet, no tartar sauce for my lovely bride." "Okay, all right," she puts that in. "I'd like a Happy Meal with cheeseburger, nothing on it, you know, whatever, and do that." And then I said, "I'd like a lemonade, a small lemonade as well." She goes, "We don't have small lemonade." And there's the drink things over there. I said, "It's lemonade right over there." I said, "You have a small cup, neighbor?" "Oh, yeah, we can do that." "Great. It's the best thing ever. It's like I'm winning the lottery here." Finally get that. I get the food, and because I love my neighbor, I decided to check everything. No tartar sauce on the fish sandwich, nothing but cheese on the hamburger. The fries are there. I go out to the car, and Abby says, "Where's the milk?" "I'll be right back, neighbor." So I walk back in. "Hello, neighbor, Lauren again. Good to see you. Can I get my milk?" "Oh, yeah, sorry about that, sorry." And she said, "Sorry." And I'm like, "Oh, curses." My neighbor apologized. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, neighbor. And I go back out to the car. "Did you get ketchup and salt?" "Abby, you're not being a good neighbor to me right now." So I go back in, a little disgruntled at my beautiful neighbor right over here. And there's no salt or ketchup, of course, anywhere. So I get to go and talk with my other neighbor again. And I, "Neighbor, can I have some salt and some ketchup?" "Yeah, sure." "Can I get it now, or do I need to is there somebody else that needs to take?" I finally got it. We got in the car, and I took off, and I made a lot of enemies on the way out. Amen. Love your neighbor as yourself. Thanks a lot. But I'm not bitter. It's important to love the person closest to you, the person you are in closest proximity with at the time, regardless of whether you think they deserve it or not. Because I know people have had to do that for me. This royal law becomes something personal. It becomes specific. It becomes intentional to the person that God has literally placed before me. Lord. And I must love that person. Now, of course, this is a trivial example, because of course there are those of us today who have faced things that far outweigh this example. And there are those of us who have neighbors that we find it very, very difficult to forgive, to call our neighbor, to show love to, and so we inadvertently show favoritism. Showing love isn't simply acknowledging someone's existence. I was very aware that Lauren existed yesterday. Wasn't enough. Thank you, Lauren. Appreciate it. God loves you, but I'm not him, so get out of here. I'm done with this. No. Acknowledging, it's more than that. It's making eye contact. I can't tell you how many times I walk around and I see people and I try to make eye contact, and it's not that they're busy on their phones necessarily, they just don't look up. It's not enough to just acknowledge that they're there, but to say, "Hi, how's it going? How's the weather?" Something, right? It's more than that, because this person before me, this neighbor who is here, is God's favorite. God is especially fond of each and every one of us. And God doesn't show favoritism, but each and every one of us are his favorite, because he has taken the time to create and mold each and every one of us. And so it becomes our task to love each other and to not play favorites. Favoritism is a sin because it stands against the royal law. The second thing that he tells us in verse 1, and he starts this whole thing off, is that favoritism denies the faithfulness of Jesus. It denies the faithfulness of Jesus. Favoritism breeds rivalries. It breeds racism, segregation. It breeds an us-them mentality. It causes us to see others as objects to be used or discarded depending on what we need or want or feel we deserve. Favoritism denies the faithfulness of Jesus because if we claim to be followers of Jesus, we don't have the luxury of favorites. Everyone is our favorite because we see Jesus in everyone, because we know that Jesus is especially fond of everyone. As a church, when we show favoritism, we're showing the world that Jesus shows favoritism. And this denies his extravagant love that he gives to each and every one of us equally, without regard for anything other than his grace and his love and his joy in each and every one of us. If we're unwilling to show love to someone, we have judged that God must not love that person as much as he loves me. And we know that that's not correct. That is false thinking. That is favoritism. That is pride. It is arrogance. It is simply sin. Favoritism denies that each and every one of us share our humanity with everyone else. All of us have failures and moments of weakness. All of us are unlovable at times. All of us stand in need of correction and reproof, praise and encouragement. But favoritism denies this. And so we cannot show favoritism. We cannot allow it to permeate who we are and what we do. So the natural question becomes for us this morning, how can I stop showing favoritism in my life, right? How can we not do this? How can we avoid this? And John Wesley gives us some help here. He gives us one of his rules, which I think is the next slide. And it's something we've looked at before. During confirmation class, recite this at the end of our time together every single week. And it reminds us of who we are called to be and what we are called to do. Our second hymn this morning spoke very much of doing this. The Psalter reading that we read this morning spoke very much of doing good. And so today I want to not only remind us of John Wesley's rule, but I want us to recite this together so that we can begin to understand what it looks like to not show favorites, but to be doers of the word and not merely hearers, to be those who are faithful in our activity. So join with me in this rule. Do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. You see how this begins to fit when we see our neighbors and when we encounter different neighbors on a regular basis. We're going to say this one more time because I don't know that it's sunk in yet. And we're going to do this one more time together. Do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Amen and amen. Gracious God, we thank you for your love and grace. We thank you that you show no favoritism, but you are especially fond of each and every one of us, that we are all your favorites, and that you care for us deeply. May we see other people as our neighbors this morning. Not everyone, but the persons and the people you place in front of us at that time. Lord, we know that at times we will need that extra measure of energy and grace to show them love, and we pray that you will give that to us. For those to whom it is easy to show love, we pray that you would enable us to be filled by them so that we can fill others. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.